Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome in. I am Lawrence Holmes here at the Budweiser Brick House. I'm very excited about today because I've got two Cubs here with me for our on-deck luncheon series. Cubs catcher, here's the thing, guys. Here's what we did. I actually have intros for you both, okay? So we did production for both of you, all right? Okay. So, Tony, you ready? Let's introduce Cubs catcher, Wilson Contreras.
Throw down the second and out to end the inning. What a throw by Wilson Contreras.
Runner takes off, pitch inside, the throw in time from his knees. Wilson Contreras.
A swing and a drive to left field and deep. Back to the wall. That ball is gone. A grand slam. A grand slam for Wilson Contreras.
All right, so see, Wilson approves of that. That was okay? That was
great. That was good.
All right, good. All right, then we did the right thing. So my producer, Tony, said that we should probably do this and give each of you your own introduction because you're individuals. Yeah. So how about Cubs outfielder Albert Almora Jr.?
And he drives one out into deep left center. Almora will make the catch. Driven to center. Almora caught that one. He is putting on a clinic. Almora launches. Deep left center. Gone is first.
That's some good production work right there. Albert, you approve? That's
all right. Yeah, good stuff.
All right, good. All right, then Tony will not be fired today, and that is a very important thing. Our show today, our on-deck luncheon, is presented by TimberTech. Go against the grain at TimberTech.com and by Xfinity, the official Wi-Fi provider of Wrigley Field. The Budweiser Brickhouse Tavern is located right here, 3647 North Clark Street, right outside Wrigley Field. Gentlemen, thank you for doing this again. I really appreciate it. I'm glad that you guys have a little bit of time to talk. Man, I just wish there was something to talk about. I mean, I wish there was just something that we could discuss. I mean, baseball is such a boring game, man. There's not a lot to discuss. Let's start here with you, Wilson. I just randomly picked something to discuss. What happened with you and Tyler Flowers yesterday?
I do it. I was just having a conversation with the umpire. What bothers me was that I was talking to the umpire, not even to Flowers. And he got into the conversation. So I just told him, do your job, I do mine. And then when I ran the bases, it was a reminder when I had to home play, I told you, do your job, I do mine, that's it. But what bothered me was that he got into the conversation. I wasn't even talking to him, and he irritates me.
So basically, you told him to mind his business.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. You know what's funny? This morning, I was watching MLB Network, and Sean Casey was talking about this, and he said, "Look, when I step into the batter's box, if I want to have a conversation with the umpire, that's between me and the umpire. I don't need the other catcher being involved in the conversation. It doesn't have anything to do with him." Is that how you felt?
Yeah, of course. You know, he's pretty good behind the plate getting pitches. And my conversation was only with the umpire because he caught a low pitch on Kyle Schwarber too that wasn't even close to a strike zone. And that was my complaint. And all of a sudden, he got into the conversation, which irritates me. And then I'm glad that I kept my focus on my bat. I'm glad that I was able to put the barrel on the ball. Then when I saw the ball go out of the yard, I said, okay, I'm going to tell him to do the job. I'll do mine.
So when you know it's gone, how good did that moment feel?
Oh, it felt so good. It feels so good. Especially with my emotions. I was around the base, like, happy but mad, you know, 50-50. When you were like, when you're happy, but you're like, still pissed because of the situation that just happened. And I think that set the tone of the game.
When you came back around and you were still a little hot, I saw Jason Hayward kind of try and grab you. What did he say to you?
Jason is he's a leader, man. He just grabbed me and said, like, hey, you cannot get thrown out of the game. We need you. We just need you. That's all he said.
Okay. All right. So, Albert, let me ask you a question about this. What's it like to have a teammate that is all about that smoke? Because Wilson is all about that smoke, man.
I mean, as a teammate, you're ready to go as well, no matter what. I mean, I don't know if there's video, but I was right there. I was right there ready to go, too, just because, hey, man, that's my boy. And no matter what's going on, is it right or wrong, it doesn't matter. We're family, and I'm going to go. I'm going to back you up, too. So, but it's funny. It's funny to see all this unfold just because he loves to take it. He takes his time when he hits homers, when he runs the bases. He enjoys it, and, you know, well-deserved. And he was in a full-out sprint, and I'm like, oh, boy, this is about to go down. You knew, because you could tell on his face, he's sprinting around second like it's a double or triple, and I'm like, you just hit a opposite field homer, and as soon as he hit it, he turned around and says something. I'm like, man, we're going down, it's going down right now. So and we've had some history with the Braves, you know, in 16, and then we owe them one. So with they beat us at the beginning of the season, so we're coming on hungry.
Are they the baseball police?
Who?
The Braves.
No. No, I mean, in regards to what? I think we're playing the game the right way, man. We play hard and we have a lot of fun doing it, but we're not going to take any crap from anybody, so.
I feel like Joe set a tone with that early on with you guys, and I think go all the way back to, like, one of those first Cardinals series that he managed where he basically said, look, we don't start fights, but we're down for finishing them. So when you know that you have the support of your manager, Wilson, what's that like? And what did Joe say to you after everything last night?
No, he asked me what happened. And I explained to him the whole way. I took him through the whole situation. And he'll say, okay, just keep your focus, keep your composure, and don't get thrown out of the game. We need you. That's basically what he said. But
yeah, because it seemed like Tyler wanted to talk with Joe. Like, in the middle of the scrum, he was talking with Joe, giving his side of it.
Yeah, he was talking, and he was explaining himself to Joe. But I'm glad that it was over after that, because Lester was trying a pretty good game. We were focused. We were hungry to win this game. And I think that set the tone of the game. And I'm glad that we won it. We win the game.
You guys know that he was, like, all on Instagram last night.
Oh, I have no idea.
T-Flo, Tyler, he was, like, talking about all of this on Instagram last night. I mean, he was responding to people who were asking him about it, but he was giving his side of the story.
It is what it is, man. I mean, I got nothing against Tyler. I know you don't either. Honestly, it's the heat of the game. You respect your opponent, but, hey, man, we're trying to win. We're trying to, I mean, I don't know. I don't, in my opinion, to each his own, man. You do you. We're going to do us. So.
You don't think so? You guys don't think it'll be an issue going forward?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
All right, good. That's good to hear.
So. No, no.
All right, great. Now we can talk about other stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, please. Yes, please.
If you guys don't mind, I'd like to go back to the World Series. And I know that people ask you about this stuff all the time, but I get the chance, Joe and I do a radio show together every week, and I talk to him, and it's funny, I actually haven't even really talked to him about winning a World Series, but for you guys and the group of kind of young guys that came up kind of around the same time, and Albert, let me start with you.
Okay.
What were those moments like when you realized what had happened, that you guys had achieved this goal, and now you were going from being the hunter to the hunted?
I thought it was really exciting, honestly. I think it was an exciting time coming in the next year after just winning a World Series, just because we were the target, you know, that year. And I still think we are, no matter what. No matter if we haven't won since, I think still teams are, I don't want to say fearful, but I think they really respect us just because we are a team that play, you know, together really well. I think, you know, having that team still kind of together from the 16 team, I don't know. I think people just know that we mean business. No matter if we go through a rough stretch or not, they know that we're still the top of the, you know, the food chain, I guess. I don't know.
Wilson, what about for you? I mean, you guys were – I'm not trying to say that you guys are old because you're not. You're, like, way younger than I am. But to be so young and for you guys to succeed at that level, what did that mean to you?
I would say it's not just a first, especially when you got called up between right half a year. And you earn the respect from your teammates and your pitching, and then realizing that we achieved this goal after 108 years is just priceless. You know, priceless for us, priceless for the fans and the city that waited so long. But I have no. I don't have much to say about it, man. It's just impressive.
When you guys saw the outpouring, whether it was people like writing on the building, which I thought was crazy, with the chalk or the parade itself, like what was going through your mind?
Honestly, I didn't know what to expect. It was my first year, the first couple months, just like us. So that's what we were, I guess, used to, or not used to, but like we were brought into this, into the big leagues, and all we did right away was to win. So I think the next year was the big learning curve for, I think, myself and maybe for Willie too, when we lost, you know, and then we weren't the last team standing. So it's a learning curve for every part. Obviously, we're super fortunate to get to the league the same year in 16, and 3 months later we're world champs. Like, wow, you know what I mean? It's that easy, huh? And then we're just going to do it every year. So, and then the next year happens, and we go through the ups and downs all year, and then we get to, well, we're three or four games away from going to the World Series again, and then we lose, and then you're sitting in your locker like, man, this is reality. This is hard. This is super hard to do. And then, so you learn. You learn how to win, and you learn how to lose as well. And it sucks to lose, but it's a part of growing, and it's a part of it's a forming. You know, when you work out, you tear muscles, and it grows harder, it grows bigger with the next. You have to go through those things, man.
Wilson, what do you think you learned through that experience of winning and then winning but not winning at all over the next two seasons? What did you take from it?
I take a lot of things. Man, like I would say, we won the 16, we lose 17 and 18, and...
Wait. Before you finish, let me ask you one more thing. Did you think it was going to be easy in 17?
No. I never thought it was going to be easy because, like Arvid said, we were the target. And until 2017, we were the target. And we clinched the playoff, but we lose. And at the time, like Arvid said, we realized that this is real. This is the big leagues. You win and lose. And it's part of the game. It's part of the oral life. You have to learn how to win, how to lose. And then all of a sudden, you have to just get ready for the next season, which we did, but we're still losing 2018 by one game. But that was a kick in our butts, which I think we needed it, and now we're ready to come back in 2019.
Back.
It's funny you say, do you think it's going to be easy when you ask that question? You thought we were going to be easy to get there or to win? No, we didn't think it was going to be easy, but we knew we were going to be there, if that makes sense. You know, that's our mindset, like, oh, we're going to be in the World Series and we're going to win. We knew it wasn't going to be easy, but that's just how we were programmed. We're like, we don't know anything else, you know. And then when we lost, obviously, and then it sucks. But like we were saying, we learn, and then we get help from veterans like Riz and Hayward and Lester that have been on both sides, and like, hey man, and, you know, I've been here when it was really bad, and now we're still moving in the right direction. So it's learning curves.
Where does that confidence that you guys have come from? Because you guys were young, you were inexperienced, yet you were on a winning team. So how did you go from, okay, I made it to the major leagues, I'm also on a winning team. Yeah. Where do you develop that type of confidence?
I mean, it starts with yourself, man. Just know the type of player you are. Know that we're really good at this game. You know, no matter what, you just have that confidence, and it's hard, man. It really is. This game is what 70 to 80% failure, and it's. I have conversations with the guys all the time, like, man, this game's really hard. Like, why are we wired this way where we come out and we know we're going to fail the majority of the time, but we love it, and we want to come back the next day, and we want to, you know, do better. And that takes a special human, man. And this is the only sport where you're on offense and you have no control of what's going to happen. Think about it. Basketball, you control your shot. Football, you control the pass. You control catching. And baseball, you could do everything right and not have any success for a week or two. And that's the frustrating and the special part about this game that I don't want to say people don't understand. Don't get me wrong. I know. But it does take more this than the physical side. And that's, I don't know. That's me.
You're shaking your head, Wilson. When did you kind of learn that? Like, when did you go, man, I kind of have to, I am wired that way, and here's what I have to do to be the best all the time?
I think since I was a kid, you know, I always believe in myself. I always believe that I was going to play in the big leagues. And I used, when I was younger, I was a kid, I used to tell my dad and my mom that I was going to play in the big leagues. So I think how much it matters, how much do you believe in yourself and how much you can get, how much better you can get every year or every single day. And the trust and confidence they have in myself, that we have in ourselves, is the key for the success.
We to this day, it's not easy, you know, we're here, we're in the big leagues, we're considered the best of the best to do this game, to play this game. But there's nights there, you ask my wife, I go home and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I want to go fish somewhere or do something, but this game's hard. And I know you think the same. We have conversations the whole time, like, damn, Willie, man, like, do we suck? Like, no, we're pretty good, man, right? We do.
We're good, but it's part of the game, too, you know, especially as a catcher. When you're a catcher, you start overthinking a lot, like what's going on with the pitching staff, what's going on with this, what's going on with the defensive side, you know, like we start overthinking. And that's when the mental side comes into play. How strong can you stay in your mental side?
When you're low and things are going wrong, who do you guys lean on to get you back in the right place? Willie, let's start with you.
That's a good question. When I start overthinking, I want to stay away from everything. I mean, I don't even watch baseball at home because I know a lot of players like to watch baseball at home. But told my wife, do not. Let's not talk about baseball. Let's not talk about anything. Let's talk about us. Let's talk about my family or something else. And I think that's one of the key that helps me to maintain my mental side.
Yeah. It all starts with yourself. Unfortunately, I mean, I have a great support system. I mean, I have two kids that keep me busy. And then, you know, obviously, with a wife at home as well. I'm blessed, man. But no matter what, you could have people, the best people in the world telling you, hey, you're going to be fine, or whatever the case may be, and giving you all the positive reinforcement. But if you yourself don't buy into it or allow it, it's all for nothing. So it all starts with yourself. Like, all right, man, turn the page or whatever the case may be.
But can it be dangerous, too, to be swimming around in your own head?
Yeah, it's super dangerous. It's super, but it's. I think it's inevitable. I think every player goes through it. Every player looks at their bat and says, man, I have no idea right now. It happens. It does. And sometimes you just have to be like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to trust it and go for it. But when you're doing really well, it's the complete opposite. You're up there and you're 0-2 and the guy's throwing 100 and you're like, and you're laughing. You're like, all right, I'm going to get a hit this next pitch or whatever the case. It's that much. It's that up and down. And then the really good players, like, you know, like Willie, and I'm starting to learn a little bit, but it's hey, man, there's always tomorrow, and just keep going.
Gentlemen, this was an excellent first segment. It was so good that I'm late to take a break. Yeah. So this is our on-deck luncheon, and this is Wilson Contreras and Albert Almora Jr. They are hanging out with me until 1 o'clock. It's presented by TimberTech. Go against the grain at TimberTech.com and by Xfinity, the official Wi-Fi provider of Wrigley Field. The Budweiser Brickhouse, this is where we're doing it from, is located at 3647 North Clark Street, right outside of Wrigley Field. We're going to take a timeout. Lawrence Holmes, Wilson Contreras, Albert Almora Jr., we'll be back with you after a quick timeout here on The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
1-2. Called strike three. Fly that W. The Cubs win again. They beat Atlanta 8-3.
My boy Zach Zabin on the call last night as the Cubs beat Atlanta. I am Lawrence Holmes, and this is the On Deck Luncheon Series here at the Budweiser Brick House. And I am here with Wilson Contreras and Albert Almora Jr. Gentlemen, I would like to lean on your expertise at your particular positions for a little bit of advice. All right, so Wilson, I'm going to start with you. When you made the transition from being an infielder to being a catcher, what was the hardest thing that you had to learn?
It's not easy. I mean, I started as a third baseman in 2011, and then at the end of the same year, they asked me to be a catcher. I said, yeah, okay, I don't matter. But it's not easy. It's not easy transition. I think the first thing that you have to learn is how to receive a fastball or sinker. That's the hardest thing to do because of your thumb. If you have your thumb in the right position, it can break. The fastball can break your thumb like this quick. So, and then after that, you have to learn how to block the ball, and then you have to learn first the physical stuff, and then you learn the game call and all the other stuff. But the transition is not easy.
Hearing some of the pitchers, and Kyle Hendricks before he got injured was actually extremely complimentary to your game calling, and he was talking about how you guys have evolved together as pitcher and catcher, and that you're on the same page. How hard is that when you got a bunch of different guys? You got, you know, 13 different guys that you have to understand how to make them the best version of themselves. How difficult is that for you?
It's difficult first, but then you earn their trust and their confidence, and all of a sudden you tell them how to do things once in a while. You know, they do their job. We do a scouting report. We go through to a lot of information. But then when the game starts, you have to make adjustments because they don't gonna have the command on every pitch, and then you have to go to a plan B. How you do the plan B? Just communicating with your pitch, being honest, letting him know that this pitch working more than this pitch, so let's pitch with this, let's go with this pitch. And that's how you take the best from them into the game.
Who was the most difficult pitcher for you to get on the same page with? Everyone here is acting like they have an answer.
They're all pretty nice, pretty good to stay with the same page with, you know. Like there's a few guys that they like to call the game, which is good, which is fine. But if I don't like any pitch, I just call timeout and call my pitch. But it's a back and forth thing with the pitchers. I'm not gonna say any name because there's
because they're listening.
Yeah, but man, I love my pitching staff. They do really good. They work hard, and they're not always gonna be good. They're not always gonna be great on the field, and that's one thing that we all have to understand.
Since you came into catching late, the framing aspect has been something that's been talked about quite a bit. How do you feel about it, and where do you think you are in your development in doing it?
You know what? I don't really pay attention too much to those comments about framing pitches, framing stuff. You know, I think the game calling for me is way more important than the framing or pitching stuff. Obviously, if you can steal one strike, two strike into the game, that's gonna help the pitcher. But if you call the right game, you're gonna win it. I mean, you're gonna have more success with a game calling the framing, but I've been getting better. I would say getting better, working on it, but I don't really pay attention to those comments.
What's better, throwing someone out at second or throwing someone out at first?
they're both really, really nice, really excited, but I think when you throw out somebody at first, it's impressive because the short lead, the false lead, they get too pleasing with themselves. And that's where my game comes in. I'm always ready to throw to first, and then now they know that I like to throw everywhere. So
it keeps them close, right?
Yeah.
You help your pitcher that way.
That helps the team. It helps the pitcher. I mean, that helps the running game-wise.
All right, Albert, your turn. Let's talk defensive center field.
The best.
That's what a lot of people in the game say, that you're sitting here looking at the best defensive center fielder in baseball.
He's the best. He's the best.
Thank you.
I've been playing with these guys in 2012, and every time he makes a play, it doesn't impress me because I know he's capable to do it, you know? Like, he's the best out there.
Thank you.
So how does that develop? How do you know that you have an instinct, number one, to play that position? And then what do you do to try to be better at it?
Oh, man. That's all I've done, man. That's all I've done since I was four. A lot of kids will tell their dad or whoever, you know, to throw me ground balls and to throw ground balls or, you know, whatever the case may be. And I was always the kid that was like, hey, hit me fly balls. So I don't know. It's something that just came natural to me. And then obviously with the help of my father, he is the one that taught me to catch the ball down here. Honestly, he is. And he thought that, if we're going to get into specific, he thought that it looked awkward if you catch a ball up here with two hands. So he literally would say, I want you to wait till the last second to put your glove up. And I would go home with bruises on my shoulder because I would wait. And the ball, he was a big boy hitting fly balls to me. And I was a little kid and the ball would bring it back and hit my shoulder. But I just love it. I love it so much just because I can control that. You know what I mean? Back to the offensive side where you can't control. I can't control catching the balls. So I love being in the right spot. I love the game. I love the game, how it talks to you, man. We have cards now where we could put it in our pocket and where it tells us where we should play. And I have a great relationship with our outfield coach. And I see the paper before the game. I memorize it, and I give it back to him. I'm like, all right, here we go. And then I see the way he calls the games. I see the way Kyle Hendricks is pitching that day. And I like to dictate where I want to be just because – it doesn't really matter that much in Wrigley because it's not a big outfield, but when we are on the road and we are in Colorado and there is a big place to run and a guy is getting his off speed over a lot better that day, I know where I got to go with certain hitters. So I just love being the student of the game. I love the challenge. And it's, like I said, it's something that I can't control. And their one mindset I take to every game is pitcher's throwing a no-hitter this game, and I'm not going to allow one single ball to land out here. So that's my mindset. So every time the first hit drops, I'm pissed. I'm pissed because even if it's not to me, I'm like, I want it to be a special day for that pitcher, and I want to help. So that's my mindset on it, man.
You brought up Colorado. Is that the worst outfield to play in, or have there been worse places where you're like, man, this – I don't like the way the sun is hitting. I don't like the angles. I don't like how much territory I have to cover.
See, but I love Colorado. I love the challenge. I love being uncomfortable because, I mean, anybody can make a nice play in a short outfield. I feel like I could really be free and not have to worry about hitting a wall out there. I even though I have, unfortunately,
a lot.
But, yeah, a lot. But
you usually make the play though.
Even in Colorado, I did, but. But I just love communicating because in that outfield, you do have to be in sync with every outfielder, the right fielder, the left fielder. And I'm in the middle, so I don't want there to be an extra bigger space on one side. So I could go on and on and bore you guys with it. But
this is what everyone signed up for. I just love
the challenge. And and the way I could get better, and you guys, if you guys are in BP, I love playing shallow. Even in Wrigley and balls over my head, which are usually in the seats, I just sprint back and without looking at it and just trying to pick it up or just make myself uncomfortable. And once that's uncomfortable or that gets comfortable for me, I'll do something else and I'll take my glove off and I'll start catching balls barehanded and whatever. He's seen it. I do it. And so I love learning. I love getting better.
So what advice would you give? There's probably a mother or a father or an uncle in the car that is listening to us right now that has a son or a daughter that plays outfield. What advice would you give them to get better, something they can work on to get better at every day? Now you're coach, Albert.
Yeah, I've never been a good coach, but something I could, I don't know. It's just always be, outfield can be boring because you can't, you have to be in every pitch. You have to know what's going on. I could sit through a whole game and not catch a fly ball and I'll be pissed, but I'm always in the game. So one thing I would tell kids is always think ahead of what would happen. If there's a man on first, or, you know, if there's a ball hit to your right or left, what's your next move? So when it does happen, you're already ahead of the game and you just do it instead of having to think when the ball's in the air, like, oh man, if I catch this ball, where do I gotta throw? No, you already know what you gotta do and you just execute it. So that's something that I love doing and it keeps me focused. Every pitch, before every pitch, I'm thinking, all right, if you hit a double in the gap, where do I gotta throw? And sometimes I think I could throw a guy out second from if it hits the, so if it hits the bullpen door and it bounces off hard, I still have a chance to throw him out at second. And those are things that are running through my mind. And then when it does happen and I'm ready to throw a second, some guys are like shifted towards third and I'm like, no, I don't want to throw there. You know what I mean? So it's you're constantly fighting the game, the situation, but I'm always trying to stay ahead.
This is some great stuff from these two guys. We're going to take another time out. When we come back, we might get a little bit more personal with our guest, which is great, because I want to ask Albert about the hair, because I am extremely jealous of the hair. So I want to ask him about that. I want to talk with Wilson as well. Stick around. Wilson Contreras, Albert Almora Jr., the On Deck Luncheon Series here at the Budweiser Brickhouse on The Score.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
The Hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz in the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season and single game tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. And this segment is being brought to you by Comcast Business. Every day, Comcast Business is helping businesses, big and small, go beyond the expected to do the extraordinary. Because beyond a simple transaction, there is making a customer for life. Comcast Business, beyond fast. Take your business beyond at comcastbusiness.com. We are here with the On Deck Luncheon Series brought to you by Timber Tech. I see the Timber Tech people here, timbertech.com. Thank you for coming out. And Xfinity, the official Wi-Fi provider of Wrigley Field. The Budweiser Brickhouse is right here in back of Wrigley Field on Clark. You can't miss it. Okay. I don't have a ton of time left, but there were a couple things that I wanted to talk with you both about. Wilson, for you, I wanted to discuss, because, I mean, you literally wear Venezuela on your sleeve. Like, it means something to you. It is your country. When it comes to all the issues that are going on in Venezuela, how difficult is it for you to focus and play knowing everything that's going on there?
It's really hard to separate those things from the field, but at the end of the day, I have to do it. It's my job. I'm living my dream, but there's no one day that I stop thinking about Venezuela. There's no one day that I stop thinking about all the kids that die because malnutrition, that all the things that's going on in Venezuela right now. Venezuela is one of the richest countries in the world that should be one of the best countries in the world, but it's sad that we don't have the right government down there, and it's sad to see my country going down in the last 20 years like it's going right now. I just told myself, like, I cannot do anything about it. I just can't. The only thing I can do is try to help people in need down in Venezuela with some foundations. And I mean, it's really hard to separate those things from myself.
Is it hard to be away?
It's hard, but I think all the Latin players want to go back to your country, enjoy your family, enjoy the country they see you grow up. They look at you, the people that know you from you were a kid. And nowadays, I don't have any friends in Venezuela. I don't have any part, a big part of my family, because they all in different countries. So it's really sad. It makes me sad to think about that. And I just try to not overthink about Venezuela, because at the end of the day, I cannot, like I say, I cannot do anything more than pray and hopes that my country go back to what it was back in 1980s, 1990s.
Albert, you touched a lot of people after the incident in Houston, where a lot of people felt your pain as you were trying to process everything that went on with the foul ball that went into the stands. Have you talked? I know you said you were going to reach out to the family. Have you connected with that family?
They wanted complete privacy, so obviously I'm going to respect that. But yeah, that's all. I mean, it's an unfortunate thing, but as long as she's okay, that's all I can really ask for.
And now seeing that there are a bunch of teams that are starting to look at the netting all the way down and around the lower section. How does that make you feel as someone who went through this?
Man, I mean, I'm just gonna say it as a fan and as a father. There's no reason at all that I'm gonna take my boys to a baseball game and have to think or even assume that there could be an injury to either of them, and then have to. You know, we have to go to the hospital or whatever the case may be. But there shouldn't be a thought in my mind about that. I should go and enjoy a game and see a beautiful game and just enjoy it and not have to worry about injury. And it sucks, because even if there's injuries that don't get put on ESPN or whatever, but there's 8 to 10 people that go home with bruises or worse. Because we see them. We see balls get smoked in the stands. So, in that aspect, I really don't, to be honest with you and to everybody here, it's an uneasy topic to talk about, because I don't want this to be looked at hope you're all right, or like for you to, how are you feeling with the netting? But because I'm not the victim, you know what I mean? I was a part of an unfortunate event that's touched me and I will never forget, but I don't want to be the guy that the people think of when they, you know what I mean? I think the families and the people that have gone through horrible events at a baseball game should be the ones that they're, hey man, we're doing these for you guys. We're not doing this to save players, you know, or from emotion and stuff like that. The way I reacted, I think everybody in this room would react the same way if they saw what I saw, and we're a part of that. So, and I have to give a tremendous credit to my teammates that were there and you know that really helped me go through all this. Obviously, my family, but yeah, man. I like I said, I'm not the victim. I wasn't the one that had to go through that, but it happened. It came off my bat, and I saw it. I saw the whole thing, and that's something obviously that I'll never forget.
All right. Well, let me end on a lighter note.
Yeah.
The hair. All right. Let's get to the hair. When did you decide that you were just going to let it ride, man? Because I'm just here to tell you that as someone who is losing his hair at a rapid pace, I am so jealous right now. So when did you decide that I am gonna not have to wear a helmet. See, I see what you do, Albert, man.
You be running around first, and then the helmet just goes flying. No. Yeah, I've been on a mission since spring training to figure out a helmet situation that stays on the whole time, and I haven't gotten that. That's why I started wearing the headband, could see if it sticks on, but no, it's a. I don't know. There's the point of the season last year where I cut it completely. I think I went two guard the whole way around, and it was August 26th, and I just said I'm done. I'm just gonna let it go. I'm gonna let it ride. I had great off season with the hair, and then now it's just getting out of control. That's why I wear a hat most of the times. But yeah, I don't know. You might see me one of these days just cut it off.
No, don't do that, man. I'm telling you, don't do that because you're going to have some regrets. Like, I look back at some of the high school pictures, and I'm like, man, my fade was money. And now I'm like, I can't even get close to that. Is he telling the truth, Willie? Is he knock off the helmet so you can see the hair?
No. He's telling the truth. I go through like four helmets a series where I put them on, I shake my head, and it falls off. Just shaking my head, I'm like, I just give up. I'm just going to go.
Usually when I have Joe on, we like to ask Joe like fun questions at the end of the segment. And since we're almost done, I want to ask you guys a question. Now, I think the answer might be sitting here, but I'm going to exclude Wilson from this conversation. Who is the teammate that you least want the smoke with? Like, who is the teammate you like, if that guy gets mad, I'm moving out of the way? I'm taking him out of the conversation.
I don't know. I'm a guy that I don't.
Look, you're a peace you love know, guy. Like, we no, know this no, about you,
that's,
man.
That's the thing. You see one side of me, but I'm a guy that.
So are you saying that you're the guy that no one wants to smoke with?
I don't want to say that, but I'm saying I wouldn't turn down a challenge from anybody. So
okay.
So that's the fine line. He knows what. Yeah. When I get upset, how I get. So I'm not crazy. He's crazy. But I try to avoid confrontation because when I do get in there, I see black. I see red, and I just go. But no, our team, man, I don't think.
Don't you dare give me this kumbaya that everything. Like, see, because I'll tell you last night.
I think we're all crazy, honestly.
You guys probably are. I was looking last night, and I was sitting there when Wilson finished his trot around the bases. Like, it's weird because you look at Jason, and Jason's a big dude. Like, people don't understand.
Jay Hayes, a creative player on a video game. You like when you get create a 99 at everything, and you can see like I want him 6'7", I want him jacked. That's Jay Hayes. You know what I mean? That's Jay Hayes. So yeah. Obviously, I'll bring something hard with me if I go against Jay Hayes. But he's one of the humblest and nicest human beings I've ever met. Man, he's awesome. So, I mean, just that goes for everybody in our team.
But I think he's like you where he's got a switch, and I don't want to ever see that switch flipped.
Don't we all, though? I mean, we do, right?
I know I do.
Yeah,
all right, so Wilson, let me ask you. Who I'm going to take him out so you don't have to be mad that he's sitting here. Who's the person on the team that you least want to smoke with? He's going through the whole Rolodex right now.
It's hard to think about it.
I can mess him up.
Like, are you guys going to tell me that, like, secretly Kyle Hendricks is, like, a kung fu master? Or, like...
What do I think about? I think I'm going to say Chadwick. I think he has some...
Yeah, I'm shocked by that.
Yeah. When he gets mad, it's hard to stick around him. I'm going to go with Tyler Chadwick.
Okay. Yeah, we have accomplished something here today, folks. This is fantastic. So now I know the next time that I'm in the clubhouse, if Tyler had a bad outing, to not go talk to Tyler because I don't want them type of problems. Gentlemen, this was an absolute treat. I thank you very much for your time and your honesty on all the subjects that we had. And hopefully we'll get the opportunity to do this again. Ladies and gentlemen, Wilson Contreras, Albert Almora Jr. Thanks again to our sponsors.
TimberTech, go against the grain at TimberTech.com and by Xfinity, the official Wi-Fi provider of Wrigley Field. The Budweiser Brickhouse, we thank them for sponsoring this too, is located at 3647 North Clark Street outside of Wrigley Field. Now a magic trick is getting ready to happen, gentlemen. I still have an hour of a radio show left to do, and all of these people are about to disappear when you walk out of the door. I don't think I don't know. I know that's what you're going to do, but I'm going to get it done anyway. So thank you guys again. I really appreciate it. You guys were outstanding. Wilson Contreras, Albert Almora Jr., we need to take a break. Back after this on The Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.